What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's happening? It's Matt or Has. You guys feel that? The intensity in the air. Week of SmashCon, Supernova, sorry. Coming up. One of the most stacked brackets we've ever seen. Smash Ultimate History. Smash Melee 2. Smash 64. Brawl, come on. You're all there with me. So good to see you guys. See a lot of you in person this week, which I'm really excited for. So before we do our round the horn, I do want to remind you, we do have a wonderful Patreon. Some bonus content here. 20, 30 minutes extra TV time with us. Listening time this week. We started to do a deep dive on Supernova Bracket. And it started to get interesting. So we're like, let's make this a Patreon content. Give us some time to chew over the brackets a little bit more. And then give you guys some good, a good deep dive on the Smash Ultimate side and what we think is going to happen in Supernova. We're still going to talk about Supernova today, but we're just going to do a deep dive later in Patreon. And yeah, so with that, what's going on, Gav? How you doing? How you feeling? Big week.
I'm feeling all right. We also had the Lumi rank top 50 officially started today. They're going to be releasing 10 players every day up to Thursday, which will be so the top 10 will be revealed at Smash or Supernova. Sorry, that's difficult. We're like a week away. I still can't do it. But yeah, I'm feeling all right. Just getting ready for the tournament. Yeah, I'm excited to see y'all, everyone except one person. But
two people. Chris isn't going either.
Chris is 50-50 on it. Charles isn't going. What's the point? What's the point?
True.
We're all boycotting out of respect for Chuck.
Yeah.
Wait, what the heck?
Honestly, sorry, man. Right. Look what you did.
Man, I'm excited. I haven't seen... Well, I saw Matt like a month ago, but maybe it was almost 2 months ago at this point. But I haven't seen Gavin in like 2 years, like a year and a half, what? 2 years or something like that. Yeah.
That's OD.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Chuck.
I mean, the last time was last SmashCon, right? Was it?
Did I go to last SmashCon?
Have you ever missed one?
I don't think so.
Don't ask me. I can't do that. I can't remember anything.
What about Summit? It's usually that Summit, Marcus, is what we always talk about. That was definitely one of the last things you really...
I saw you at
all four of us really at.
Yeah.
That was a long...
That Genesis was a long time ago. I think it was... It may have been last SmashCon, but like if it were, it was like a blur. You know, like we didn't like see each other and like hang out too much. But
yeah, you might have like swung by type thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's because SmashCon's a really busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's... The commentators be locked in. Gavin is playing for 30 hours a day or he's playing for 10 minutes a day. Like the phase one is like you play like two matches and you're just, all right, I'm done for the day because he only signs up for one event.
Yeah.
So. No Brawl, actually, no Smash 4.
Actually, when's the last time you played doubles? Like when's the last time you entered doubles? I haven't even thought about that in a while. Took a glance off to the side, by the way. He's like, doubles. I remember that.
Yeah, he's like going year by year back. Like
probably with B at
Qui-Gon.
Hawaii like 2 years ago. Yeah, I don't play doubles.
Been a doubles guy.
We don't even really play for fun much. I don't play well with others.
Yo, Smash 4 doubles was lit though.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Cloud ruined that shit. I know I was one of the people playing Cloud, but I still hated it while I did it.
Yeah, he did ruin it.
I hated, like, not double Cloud. I hated Cloud, period.
Cloud had to get banned.
Ruined doubles.
But before Cloud, doubles was lit.
It is okay.
I've also never been a huge double guy.
I like doubles more, and I still don't like it.
Yeah. I think it was easier to play doubles in Smash 4 because there was no balloon knockback. That was probably my favorite thing. Back like comboing. Back. Yeah, like team combos were easier to do.
More you just fun. Do a bunch of nairs and forward airs, and you do back throw smash attack with everyone.
Well, and then like footstool and jab locking was a thing. Like you couldn't tech footstools. So it got pretty, you could do some crazy. It got interesting.
But yeah, it's been a while. I usually just play singles. It's kind of just like my ritual at this point. I'm just a tryhard or something, I guess. But I don't really like entering something if I'm not practicing or preparing for it beforehand. Like, I'm not going to enter Smash 4 because I don't play Smash 4. I'm not going to enter blah, blah, blah because I don't play any of that. Like, I play Ultimate every day. I'm going to enter Ultimate singles. Like, I don't even do Squad Strike much anymore. But when I did, it was fun. But when I think, like, I only play one character most of the time. Sometimes I'm playing two characters. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. The game's been out for a long time. I've been playing Smash for a long time. I enjoy it when I play it, but I don't need to purposely play more Smash than I have to. I just don't have to do that. Maybe when the new Smash game comes out, I'll be entering the side stuff because it's fresh and fun. You'll probably see me in all the side stuff during that time. Maybe not. Depends on how soon in the game's lifespan I go into tryhard mode. But yeah, I kind of want to talk about this 41 through 50, though.
The rankings right away? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hit it.
We'll probably have... I guess by the next time you see us on the show, we'll probably be talking about literally everything else.
The total ranking, yeah.
Which is a little awkward, but we might as well start it off. Something I think is really adorable, actually, is the Game 5 hype song in the favorite game is really nice. Unfortunately, almost every single person put their favorite game as Smash Ultimate. So
should have put a rule in that you can't do
that.
Yeah,
I think you missed the assignment there, but
missed the assignment.
But yeah, number 50, we got Jackal. Shouts to Jude. I'm super proud of you. Really cool to see you on there. I think he might be the only wolf in the top 50.
Ouch.
Is Ouch going to be in the top 50, you think?
I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the top 50. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he was in that tweet where they're like, we mathematically figured out.
Oh, okay.
40. I'm pretty sure that's Ouch. I don't know
with
why
the power
that was
of math.
I don't know Batman why. Like, you would think, like, with the math, I would do like a nerdy voice, like. But I just right. I don't know. Anyway,
like, you gave him power. I like that.
Wolf is falling off, guys.
I don't see out.
Inevitable.
Ain't no way.
I'm pretty sure Jude is the only wolf.
That's
crazy. In the top 50. In the top 50.
No, Ouch. What
the? I don't see Ouch.
Wow.
So that's crazy.
Well, shout out to Jude.
Wolf used to be a household name character that you would expect to see. Now we're lucky to see one in the top 50, which is crazy.
Wild.
Shouts to Jude. Actually had a favorite game on there that wasn't Smash Ultimate with Super Metroid. Pretty cool.
Got the assignment.
Pretty cool favorite game for sure. And then we have Yaman Action at 49, the Steve Roy... I've seen Luigi before. What is up with the Steve Luigi thing?
They like to win. They like to hit you once and kill you.
Yeah, it's just it's a real combination that
it's a pipeline, bro.
It's just real. That shit is real.
It's very real.
Favorite game is Call of Duty, which is crazy because they didn't specify the type of Call of Duty. So technically, this is just the first Call of Duty.
When did first Call of Duty come out? Like. This has got to be an old game.
Yeah.
Yes, 2003.
It's like a favorite game, Final Fantasy, right? That's
it. 2003. Did I say 2003? I'm pretty sure I said 2003 because I just looked it up. October 29th, 2003.
Yeah, starting in 2003.
I'm goated.
Sheesh.
So I'm assuming it's a game that isn't the very first COD because the very first COD is not very good. In my opinion, but that's really cool. 49 Yaman Action is that? I think that's how you pronounce it.
If it's not,
I'm very sorry.
I'm done playing that game, bro. I'm out.
Number 48, we got Kuro Ponzu, Rob player. I think it's only Rob.
I've only ever seen them play.
Favorite game is Brawl. Still a low key annoying pick.
No, that's good. That's great.
A difference.
If it's Brawl, I think it's fine. Come on.
No, pick a game that isn't Smash. We know you play Smash. You're on a world ranking, bro.
It's better than Ultimate, like, for sure, though.
Yeah.
It's better than saying Ultimate. It's 1,000%.
It's still the same universe of things.
Like, I'm watching a League of Legends tournament, and they say my favorite game is League of Legends. Snooze. They say their favorite game is There's no sequel to League. This doesn't work.
I thought you were going to say Team Fight Tactics. I was going to say, hey, let's lock
TFT,
in.
Lock in. Nice job, Marcus. Good save. Good save. If someone comes up, they're playing Street Fighter 6, and they say my favorite game is Street Fighter 6, L. They say it's Third Strike, A. Hold on. We kind of got a W going on here.
But we know their favorite game is going to be a Smash game.
I didn't. Dude, no. You might have guessed it in the first 10 guesses, but you would not have said Brawl early on. You would have guessed Brawl, and then you would have guessed based on their favorite character.
Brawl is actually goated. Like, truly.
Yes. That's a good choice, dude.
I wonder who Bro played in Brawl. Was it Rob? Still? Ain't no way.
I assume so.
It was probably Casually, to be honest.
Think so?
I don't know. It gives me like a childhood favorite type of vibe when you pick Brawl nowadays, unless it's someone you know played Brawl. But that's 48, 47. We got Peevnut, the GOAT.
Let's go, Peeb.
Eggman, I thought it was going to be higher.
He had a lot of good wins.
He went to a lot this last season. He was at so many tournaments, man, which I noted because I love seeing him there.
Yeah, I love watching him play. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Bro, a Zomba and a Mio win, and you get 47. Can we just like take a step back and just realize how...
It's not enough anymore.
To get top 50, like, this shit is hard.
I think we've always
assumed rank 2 player and it's 47. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's just perspective in what kind of resume you need to get in a top 50. It's a very high standard.
TFT, by the way.
Wait.
TFT2.
Oh,
not TFT. Sorry, Marcus. I slipped because you said TFT earlier. No, TFT2, which is,
yeah,
it's fitting too somehow. Like, that works. Like, I'm down with that. W.
Then
what
we got
a human dude. Yeah,
46th. I mean, he's just a goat. Huh?
Would you say B? Grats B? Big D. D-D-D? Oh, Big D.
46th.
Different human.
Yes. is this going to be the only ICs? I would assume so.
Probably.
We get his favorite music and stuff.
Japanese one stuck in there, but I don't think it's happening this time. So that's also a pretty. It's always interesting when like you're the only one of your character in there in like the top 50. I think that's pretty cool. Some really great results here. Wins on Light, Leo, Zomba as well. Yeah, shouts to Big D. And then we got Motunabe. So most of the players in here are Japanese. It's for the 41 through 50. I think 7 out of the 10 people are Japanese.
There was a tweet that said that some people have mathematically cracked the code when it comes to these rankings. Sorry, I'm not on my camera at all today. And for the first time, if everything goes the way the predictions are going, for the first time, it'll be a majority non-USA ranking for a Smash game ever. It'll be mostly Japanese players. It's like 27 or 28 Japanese players or something like that. Crazy. Unreal.
Yeah, Motunabe at 45th. Probably the only Falco. Definitely the highest Falco on here, I would assume. So that's impressive. Bunch of like top 32-ish placements at majors, including a couple top 32s at P-tier events. Mostly just... I see a couple wins on Neo. I see a win on Ken, Toriguri. I actually played a bunch of friendlies with Motsunabe at Gommel, so that was fun.
I didn't know that.
Wait, wouldn't Masa be ranked higher, right? Doesn't Masa get better results or no?
I don't think Masa's in the top 50.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Okay, L for the combination of Ultimate plus your character's theme song is the Game 5 theme.
Yeah. Not real. That's not real.
We'll get to that. Maybe
Pedro, not even the best Star Fox song in the game, like at all.
That's true. Me, Marcus, and Charles should make our own cards. It's kind of like walk up songs for baseball. Like, what's your like walk up song? Like, what's your hype song? I ain't putting Corneria. I'll tell you that much. I'm not putting
a track from Ultimate.
I think that's what some people might have thought.
It's called a Game 5 hype song, so you don't have to pick, but it would make your life easier if you picked the ultimate song. Some people picked like non-Smash songs, but like, yeah.
Because some people listen to music when they're playing. So like the music that they have in their headphones, they might change to a certain song on Game 5.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, and if you say Game 5, like they might assume in-game, especially because in Ultimate you can obviously select.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they might just make that assumption. So can't hold it against them. I think
the questionnaire asked, like, you can do not Smash if you really want to, but...
Oh, I didn't get a questionnaire.
Yeah, what? Leaked.
Yeah, well, you're in the... You're like
they don't 50. Rank number zero.
Yeah.
Spoilers, that's crazy, Has. What the heck?
You know. Made a guy look foolish or two in my day.
44, we got Farage. His Falcon is OD. I'm not going to lie.
Yes.
His Falcon is actually OD.
You never say that, so it's got to be.
I was actually watching like the clips in his video today. He's nasty. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I mean... Not a character that I particularly think is too great in Ultimate right now. So very impressive to be ranked this high. You're not going to see anything else like it in the top 50. That's for sure. It's definitely going to be the only Falcon.
Really? The only Falcon?
In the top 50?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Top 150, maybe you'll see another one, but there's going to be a big gap at the least. Favorite game is Smash Ultimate. I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of it.
Are you sleep?
I'm sleep at that, bro.
What's your answer? I guess we'll find out.
I mean, everyone knows it, right? No?
Dude, you got a lot of favorite games.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you haven't seen that clip? That clip is disgusting, bro. That clip is so disgusting.
Bro, this guy is really slinging well. Hold up. This guy's slinging right now.
Charles, that's the thing. And the number one thing about Ultimate Falcon is everyone's like, he fucking feels like shit when he moves, which no one has ever said about Falcon in the history of Smash. This bro makes him look like he's on ice, man. He is slide, man. Moving with this character, Captain Falcon. I love it. It makes me want to play Falcon, which I don't think I've ever really said outside of watching a Nick C stream, of course.
Yeah.
And I try, and I'm like, I can't do any of this shit.
You would play Falcon like the way Nick plays Falcon.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You would play just like him.
Obviously, yes.
Just like Nick C plays like such a troll. Ooh. Streaming, bro, he's so mean to people on Elite Smash.
It's very fun to watch on Twitter.
He tries to kill with like jab or like a stupid throw, or he tries he just gives himself like the dumbest requirements for challenges. Like, it's pretty funny.
Watching all the clips he puts on Twitter is
he's experimenting with people on Elite Smash. It's messed up. But yeah, Karage's Falcon is very good. 44th. Umeki.
Wait, what was the song in the game and all that stuff? Can we get that back, Chris?
Ultimate and a Mega Man X song for favorite song, which is cool.
Ooh, okay, that's better. Is it one of the ones in Ultimate though? Oh no, great. Okay.
Favorite hobbies. I forgot they're so small in the player card, but that does exist.
And we need to go over everything.
The
hobbies are cool. So for example, it's trading card games. Fire.
I will genuinely say one of the big complaints about Ultimate specifically, but just like Smash in general, is like we don't give our personalities enough of a platform. So I love that this was added in there. Like, it gives, I have no idea who this person is outside of their sick Captain Falcon, right? Like, okay, now I have a little bit of an idea what they're up to, right? Just a little bit. I think that's cool. I like that a lot. I think we need to focus on that more than the results.
So Jackal plays the One Piece trading card
game.
That's
the Has ratings.
Which is really cool. So he does pretty well at the One Piece tournaments, he says.
So that's Goblin.
Yeah, Goblin does great. I've been into Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments, so Jackal and I will talk. We'll have a tournament like on the same day, and he'll say how he did, and I'll say how I did. He's usually doing better than me. And then Yaman Action said his hobby is going to the pub. He loves
W.
He loves Call of Duty, going to the pub, and his favorite song is a One Piece song.
Wait.
Okay, wait.
He would probably fit in well with us, honestly.
Coolest human on the list so far. It just might be the coolest human, period, at this point.
On the whole rankings.
Yeah, it's over. And then
this is why Takara needs to get one of these.
It was Brawl for the game, Persona music for the song, and then... Games and animation for the general hobbies. So games are to be expected, but animation is a little bit of a curveball, right?
Right.
And then Peebnut had TF2, I think that's an anime. I think it's a Chainsaw Man song.
Is it Kickback?
Yeah. Oh,
you would know Kickback.
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm a YouTuber now for his favorite hobby. Okay.
I like it. Just because he's using it to self-promote. W.
Yeah. And then Big D said, Brawl had a Kirby Air Ride song for favorite song.
Hmm.
And then says weightlifting. Not surprised. That dude's big and scary.
He's not scary.
He's scary?
He's
not
scary. He's actually probably the least scary person in the top 150, but he's actually the nicest guy in the world. I'm not going to lie.
He's like the most Canadian human that's ever existed. He's yeah. just 8 feet tall. Like, that's yeah. it. He's amazing. He's
Canadian.
Like 10 feet
Dude,
tall.
Yeah.
Motunabe had Brawl, Corneria, and Musical Appreciation.
A hobby?
I sure.
I do. I want to know what that means. Appreciating music.
You popping out his music like, hmm.
I appreciate this one today.
I love it. Don't we all appreciate a little good music?
That.
I'm yeah. down, dude. I like the way it's phrased.
And then for Karage, we said Ultimate, the Mega Man X song, and hobbies are Apex and Minecraft. Gaming. Actually gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's big time gaming.
Yeah, he's like locked in playing competitive games other than Minecraft. That's what he does when he's chilling out. Umeki at 43rd. They played Umeki's clips and it was just all Zero to Death, bro. Umeki got those unlocked for sure. Like the second Umeki appeared on the screen, it was just like turn up.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, bloop.
Let's go, Umeki. That's a W.
Yeah. Favorite game is Smash Ultimate.
Interesting.
Favorite song is The Roost.
Okay.
From Animal Crossing. A song that people be sleep at in the tournaments. Hobby is Mahjong. That's cool as fuck.
I give it up. I'm back.
That's a little different. Fun fact, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Deck I play is based on Mahjong.
I didn't know that.
Tenpai Dragon is all based on Mahjong, yeah.
Mickey wow, that's rules.
Sick.
Yeah. Random, but yeah.
Damn, what a whiff on it.
Some pretty good placements here. 9th at a P tier, 4th at an A plus tier, 2nd at a B plus. Couple wins on Yara, Yoshidora, Ashimo. Level 1, which is like a really big win, like as of recently, I would say. That's like a win that's nice to have under your belt because of how well level 1's been doing. So that's cool. 42nd, we got Shirayuki. Inkling in the top 50. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal, yeah. I don't think when's the last time that's happened?
That character has plenty of peaks and valleys.
So is Inkling officially just a higher ranked character than Wolf? Is that where we're at?
No.
I'm always right.
Damn.
Hey, I'm on your side with the Inkling thing. I'm on your side, bro. You know that. I hate that character.
It always comes full circle. It always comes full circle.
Ain't no way Wolf is the worst Spacey.
On the ranking? Yes.
It's actually by far. Or actually, it's not that far.
But there's two Spaceys within here, but Fox clears them, bro. Fox be clear.
Fox kind of clears them, yeah. I mean, to be fair, is there there will be multiple, or will there be multiple Fox in top 50 for this ranking?
No definitely not.
Really? Kaninabe? Not going to. Yeah.
Not okay. This season.
No Kaninabe.
Bro, was my amendment, too. I saw that.
Oh, shit.
Fox ain't good enough, bro. Fox ain't good enough.
Here we go.
Gotta use the amendment.
At some majors from Shirayuki. Favorite game is Smash Ultimate. Everyone clap.
It should be illegal next time. It should be illegal. Not allowed.
Favorite song is Route 10 from Pokemon Black. Is that the one that's in Smash?
I'm gonna listen. Hold on. Give me a second.
Think so, but I think it's kind of sleep. No flame. I think it's kind of sleepy. But
it has it on it. Hold up. Has it on
I'm
it.
Listening. Hold on. I'm appreciating sure. this music. Hold on.
It's a very good, it's a very good gen. So
I can't imagine it being
game five theme song. By the way,
this is not a game five theme song.
Okay. I can't imagine it being much more hyped than The Roost, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, it's a good song, though. It's similar like a
similar energy to The Roost, for sure.
Yes, and it's kind of like a PS1-era JRPG, like a small town like theme song.
Okay.
For game
I'll post it. I'll post it to the podcast.
What a great description. Wow.
Yeah, that was actually
a great describer.
And then hobby is just video games in general. Lit. And then to round it off today for the 10 players today, tomorrow we'll get 40-31. So we got Alice finishing it off at 41. Alice has always been playing like Crom, Roy, but now it's more like Roy Kazia.
Damn.
I saw at one of the most recent, like the Kagaribi Kowloon event, Alice did really well beating like Hurt and stuff like that with Kazuya versus Snake. We have some couple top fives at majors. We got 13th at a P tier. Favorite video game, Danganronpa. Finally, a game that isn't Smash.
At least you didn't say Smash Ultimate. Yep.
Anything is good at this point. Favorite song is an F-Zero X song. That's actually a Game 5 hype song. Thank you. And then hobbies is also just video games in general. But yeah, Alice has been around for quite a bit with like the Crom and Roy. But now it's more like nowadays it's more like Roy and Kazuya. So
yeah, they play Sephiroth at one point too. I remember.
Oh
really?
I don't think I ever really saw it, but I think I remember seeing it somewhere.
We got a Doro win. It's pretty big.
That's huge. It's definitely a big one to get. That's something like that is probably what can like separate you from like when you're in the 40s range. It can probably put you a spot higher than someone else. You know what I mean? Wins on Raru, Ryo, Doramigi, Tama P. Like those are some big ones. Those are ones that we're gonna be seeing later in the week, like top 30, top 20 type stuff. So
The wins look nice.
Yeah, and like 13th out of P tier is a big deal. Two top fives at A tiers, which is like, that's when tournaments start being considered to be major tournaments. So, very interesting. Like Haz was saying, I was very interested in the hobbies and games and stuff.
It's so fire, dude. It's such a small thing, but it goes a long way. It really does. Cause
bro, they should have put it as the song in the video.
It's the song.
Might be copyright stuff, bro. Everyone's going to use video game music.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree. That would have been a nice touch. You know what? We'll release our own version. We'll just rip the exact content and put the different song over it. The Haz rankings are going to go foolish, bro.
Everyone would love that. No one would get upset, I don't think.
What were the characters for 50 through 41?
So we have Roy Kazuya. I don't know what Alice's primary, like, what was the primary?
It looked more Roy than Kazuya, but.
Yo, your mic is going crazy, bro.
You came in hot.
Charles coming in the walkie-talkie.
It looks like Roy over.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that's perfect.
We have Roy Kazuya player, Inkling player, which is crazy. Huh. Daisy, Peach, same thing. Falcon. A lot of this is like unexpected, and they're probably going to be the only ones you see all week.
Except for Roy.
The spice characters.
Falco, which is probably going to be the only one you see. Ice Climbers, definitely going to be the only one you see. Mega Man.
Wolf.
Mega Man, I think it's going to be the only Mega Man as well.
Yeah.
Most of these are pretty exclusive to themselves. Obviously, it's the top 50, so it's getting dwindled down quite a bit. So you can say that for a lot of the characters. Except like Steve, Game & Watch.
Yeah, there's going to be Steve. There's going to be another Peach,
dude,
Daisy.
There's going to be another Peach.
And then Roy Kazuya, for sure,
In general, I know this is kind of bouncing around a little bit on topics, but looking at the character diversity of like the top 200 seeds in Supernova, I had to get used to it. I better really actually get used to it since I'm casting this shit. I actually got to lock in. Like, I'm kind of goofing around right now, but I need to, like, figure my shit out for sure.
Yeah.
So, shit. The character diversity is kind of nice. Like, the characters that I don't love watching, there aren't that many of them. You know what I mean? Like, even, I don't want to say a specific character because I'll feel like a dick, but even Game & Watch, like, I don't love watching Game & Watch. You know what I mean? Like, nothing personal. Like, it is what it is. I just don't, I find him frustrating to play against myself, so I do not enjoy watching him. The thing with him is, like, there's only three or four of them seeded to get top 200 at SmashCon. Like, I made a tweet that was like, I think the character diversity is pretty damn good. Like,
it's solid.
Without the super outstanding stuff, bro, like, there's a little something for everyone. Like, if we and this is a lot of pressure on the tournament runners and all that stuff. If we pick the right matchups to stream, it's going to be a super, super, super hype tournament. And if we get a couple, I don't think so, dude. I really don't.
But just with upsets and stuff, it can get a little tough.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
like, you like predict, like, because a lot of times they like predict what matches to put on stream based on like the projected bracket.
Super far in advance or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so it can be tough.
Dude, it always happens on Twitter. It's like, how was this not streamed? We knew this upset was going to happen. It's like, all right, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, I don't know, don't just put people up there because they're top seeds or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, let's look at overall entertainment value. And I'm not saying, like, whoever's running the tournament, I don't even know. It might be Devin, who I really like, and he does a really good job. But I'm not saying the person who's doing this is doing a bad job. I'm just saying this could be a all-time banger tournament. That's what happens when you get everybody showing up in the same fucking room. Like, there is so much potential for this to be all-time banger. There's also a lot of potential for this to be all-time snoozer. So those matches where, and that's just where we're at in Ultimate. And it's always what happens, again, I tweeted this, but that's always what happens in a game's life cycle. Once you stop getting support, top tiers are picked, the strategies are formulated because they're the most consistent and they're the best. And typically that means they're not crazy fun to watch. Like, that's just the way it is. That's across every game. Melee had that too. They implemented house rules where you can't stall the ledge, where you can't wobble, you can't do all this stuff to preserve their game, because they understood the value of that, of making it something that people want to watch and get invested in, so they want to play, so that your scene continues to grow and keep playing the game that you fucking love. So with that, every game I've ever played has reached this point where it's like, we're just not getting any more support. This strategy is really, really strong and good. These characters are really, really strong and good. It's like I was thinking we should do a tier list at some point of like characters that are hyped to watch. And I think it really comes down to two things. How rare is this character? Like, just novelty is so powerful when it comes to like, damn, I haven't seen a Mario play in like 3 weeks. Like, I haven't seen, like, I don't know, Kurama hasn't done well at a tournament, or Ron or whoever, like, with good Mario. Oh, damn, I'll tune in and watch some good Mario. And it's like, how's the character play is like the other half of the equation. So like, novelty and play style, I think, are the two main things. And it's like, once you get towards the end of the game, like, think of, like, even Third Strike, which everyone loves. Man, that game's top tiers are so fucking toxic. It made me hate the game so much. Not the game, but it made me hate them so much. Like, Chun, I'll never forgive her. I hate her so much, dude. Even in other games, I can't look at her. Like, I just hate her so much from Third Strike.
Big Makoto.
Play style, I love Makoto. See, that's the difference right there. I love her. She's, you might as well flip a coin when you're playing against her, right? Who cares? Like, you might as well just, who cares? Like, why even plug the controller in? You might as well flip a coin. But I kind of like it. It's entertaining, at least. But what I'm saying is, like, I really hope this tournament does. I think a lot is hanging on this tournament in terms of how people vibe with Ultimate going forward. I really do. Just because of how big it is, how many eyes are going to be on the tournament, and who's feeling it. Like, do we end up with a really snoozer top eight? That's going to suck. Like, that's really going to be rough. It is, because I see it across Twitter. And I love the game still. I know you guys do, obviously, you know, but sometimes tournaments aren't bangers. But when they bang, dude. They're the best. Like, when they're good, they're the best. When they're not the best. I mean,
if we look at the projected bracket, this joint is sleepy. Goodness gracious.
We got to deal
with Gavin. We might need some upset.
Gavin's there. That sucks. Yeah. Hey, hide this. Hold on. This is Patreon content. Hold on.
We're not deep in it, but like, yeah, I mean, you could just click the top. Bro, I clicked the top eight. I was like, what does the projected top eight look like?
It's going to be tough.
Uh-oh. That joint is we'll see Akko, Lemia, and Winners. It's like watching the Japanese. So I stay up until 5 a.m. just to see the guy. Like, come on.
Hey, wait,
man.
Silver lining. It'll be a normal time for us. That's
it'll
awesome.
Be a normal time.
True.
I do like that.
I don't like that. If for some reason it goes projected that like Gavin and Spargo are playing, like they're the hope. Like, I mean, Shattuck also there. But like Tweak and Spargo are the hope. Like, hey, y'all can still win this event. Like, let's lock in. Like,
it's also like a big compliment too to these players, because we're like, they're just gonna make top eight. Like, that's just how consistent and how good they are. Honestly? As well, it's like they're just gonna be here. Yeah, it's just new things are fun, you know, like that's just kind of a big part of it is what I would say. But I also I'm just saying, man, like looking at that top 200, I don't know if you have that, Chris, but like the character representation, like, bro, I love so many characters in this game. I love watching so many characters in this game. I really, the amount of characters I like watching is greater than the number of characters I don't like watching. Think about that.
I agree.
How often do you see those characters, though? That's like, that's where we run into it. Gavin shaking his head no. You're a hater, though.
Bro.
Not
Shattuck
me.
Actually, I, like, when I first said that, I was like, yeah, like, Gavin and Spargo are the winners. Like, they're the hope, but I'm kind of looking at it. I can't. Shattuck's interesting. You cannot doubt that kid. You cannot. Absolutely. Bro shows up over and over. He usually beats the person that last beat him, except for Gavin. Because he beat Light, right? And Light was beating him for a while. Gavin just keeps beating him. But like most people that he's played, if he lost to him, the next time he normally beats him. So I mean, honestly, like,
yeah, he's getting there, bro.
He's getting there.
He's already there.
Yeah. Like he's predicted to play Shuton. Like that's a win. No flame. I think Shattuck just clears it. Like
I don't disagree.
Again, kind of my job in Charles as well as a commentator. So look at this and be like, what is interesting, right? Like, what are we looking forward to the most? And I just think that it really feels like unlimited possibilities with this bracket.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. Dude, it's just...
I can't predict a thing.
Well, you're going to have to for Patreon. Unless you're on the Patreon episode, then you definitely can predict everything 100% correctly.
I mean, yeah, if I, like, focus, I can give my thoughts. But, like, in reality, like, the last few tournament watch parties I've done, I've predicted like the finals and like the winner or whatever. I'm keeping my mouth shut right now.
It's different though, because for those like you're watching
this one,
but you're also watching them play, so you can see like how well they're playing. For this, we're just like raw numbers,
word of mouth and stuff. All I'm at the tournament's like, oh, this player won, this player lost. Like I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We have a lot of data on what the rest of the top 50 is going to look like, which is really interesting. I don't know if we should or shouldn't talk about it because it's not actually out yet, but I think some of it's kind of obvious anyways. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
And it's like...
This ranking truly gives me the vibe of like new kind of era of Smash, like where we're like, we always knew we were in it, but now that like a ranking is out to solidify it, like we're actually truly in like a new era, and like it's just solidified. Like we're deep in the new era. Like this is these are the new best players. This is the ranking. Like,
can I ask you honestly, Gavin? How does that feel, man? Because at one point you were that kid to the three of us. You know what I mean? Like, kids on here.
I don't know. I blinked and I've gone through like all these different phases of my career in Smash. Like at one point, getting a big win at my local was something I'd tell my dad about. And I'd show him that I won like $30. And then the next point, I'm like flying to major tournaments and it's crazy. Getting my first big top eight or big major win was crazy. Like, and now I blinked and now I've been doing this for 30 million years and I've seen like 3 million players come and go. Like, it is just like, what?
What was your first major top eight?
So probably that pound.
Oh, the one that Tyler got top eight, right?
Me and Tyler kind of just like showed
both your guys first top eight.
We were playing against each other.
Did I lose to him that pound?
I lost to him pretty much every time we ever played in Smash 4. Until like it was way farther in there. And even then, he still beat me at least one more time. Our record was insanely bad. Bro, I hate thinking about it. I swear he got lucky so many fucking times, bro.
That was partially that character in that game, too.
But you're getting lucky in Ultimate, though, right? Against him?
Yeah. Yeah. Junior Zero Suit was so... stupid.
Oh, you're talking
blaming things on the match.
I thought you were talking Cloud.
Cloud at least one time.
Yes,
as well. But
I mean, that matchup couldn't have been that bad, right? Junior wasn't that bad. I'm just kidding.
You know anything about him too?
Pre-patch, because you're talking pre-patch Zero Suit.
Yes, I am.
You know this obviously because you played against Ty for years, but he is very good at exploiting characters. Good character, he knows their weaknesses really well, but bad characters, it's like you can't even play the fucking
game. I think he's
game,
even
dude.
Better at exploiting players.
Just players.
He's kind of evil.
Take the character out.
I'm saying you can't get away with that low tier shit. You could do it maybe once, and he's like, fuck you. Like, that's never happening again.
The most, like when he's beating you, it is very embarrassing. Like he shows you everything you're bad at. He embarrasses you. He So I feel like if your mental isn't stable, bro.
He makes you look a little foolish at times, I would say.
Yes, he does.
He's just a bully, dude.
Yeah. Someone's got to teach him a lesson.
Who's he going to be?
Damn.
He's gone. Oh, yeah. I texted him, actually. Yeah, he's gone. Nice.
We are babies in that match. But my friend.
Dude, it's so weird. Bring that back up, Chris. Oh, my God, dude. That is what I knew you guys. It's so weird. You guys are still that
this
one.
Is crazy.
Oh, I did lose to Morris here.
Oh, my God. I mean, Marcus, one of my all-time favorite sets ever is you versus Ty.
Yeah, you've said that before.
The saga, man.
That was K-Tar. That was K-Tar.
Look at how bad neutral air dodge is.
Yes.
her Nair is crazy.
Dude,
we're just
bad.
Watching.
Yeah, I still can't believe you played Junior and you would watch your character just get zero death by zero suit and just be like, all right, next time I'm going to win, though. You thought that. You actually thought that.
So I say my first actual. Dude, I did that jump air dodge off ledge almost every time, bro.
Oh my God, dude. You guys are babies. Holy shit, man. It's crazy.
I can't even look at this, bro. I can't even look at this.
Producer Chris cuts it instantly.
He can't. Except
Chris.
Fuck, I was going to say something. Oh, I think my first really big one was actually the shots fired because the Panda Global rankings came out shortly after. And I did.
And that was like one of your first tournaments with Cloud, right?
Yeah, and yeah. I did so well at that tournament, and the timing was so convenient because they started doing rankings that I just got straight up put to 15th in the world.
Gavin, so
it kind of happened so fast, you know?
Sometimes you're in the right place at the right time. Oh, my God, dude. They also look so different, both of them, bro. God,
the glasses.
Oh, man.
Yeah, wow, so
when does this turn into a we're fucking old podcast? God damn it. I did not expect that today. I know we are.
It's always been.
I know. It's always been three quarters of the podcast.
It does feel weird. For a while, Haz, to actually answer your question, it was really depressing. Because, I don't want to put Leo on the spot or anything, but I had a relatively recent conversation with him where he's just like, yeah, like, I'm just not feeling it. Like, I don't like the state the game's in. I don't like the way it's played, blah, blah, blah. And like, I've listened to hundreds of people complain, like good players complain about their Smash game. Like, it's just,
we listen to you complain about this game.
Yeah. I listen to myself complain every day about this Smash game, but the person it hurt to hear from the most was Leo for some reason. You know what I mean? Like hearing it, like that kind of stuff from him is different. So, like, it's just the game's in a different spot, like, all, like, so it's a little weird and lonely and different and intimidating, but, like, I mean, I still love what I do, and it's only a six-month season. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, we'll see what happens. Like, there's always going to be a new game. Like, I don't know. And, like, a lot of these new players, I think they're cool, and I think they'll probably stick around for a while and do a bunch of different things with Smash. So, like, it's fine. Like, But yeah, obviously it gets a little weird just because the state of Ultimate is questionable. But I mean, look at Supernova. There's a bunch of entrants. Like, Haz isn't even feeling that bad about the diversity. Like, it's fine. It's really fine.
I said,
like,
I'm feeling good about it, actually.
Yeah.
Hold on. Exactly. Let's be clear here. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling up. I don't know. Maybe it's naive still at this point, but I just feel optimistic that we're going to get a fucking banger. And I think it's guaranteed that we'll get bangers through top 265, 256, right? That's a bracket cutoff. I've been around for a while. 256 down to maybe top 64, guaranteed. At least a couple matches in every single one of those rounds will be amazing. Furthermore, some matches, because of story, just because they have players you don't really like, because rankings are coming out, can also be fucking amazing for sure, you know?
Something I like about it too is I just do my own thing, dude. I do this podcast, I like practice, but I feel very separate from a lot of things, and like I kind of like that about it. And I'm glad I can just be a threat when I show up to a tournament. You know what I mean? Like, that's good enough for me. I'm just here to play to win, and as long as I can do that, I'm chilling. But yeah, I mean, it's the scape. Like, the landscape is just so different. It's crazy.
Charles brought it up earlier. Like, who's it for Peeb? Where it's like you got a Mia win and another really good win, and you're only like 48th.
dude, it's crazy.
It's just Smash gets harder and harder. I think everyone needs to realize it gets harder and harder. It's something we praise about the game so much is how global and how big it is. I mean, talk about the rankings becoming majority non-USA for the first time ever in a Smash game. It's just, it is so competitive, dude. And something that I've always loved about Smash, it's still like relatively small though, like grand scheme of things. League of Legends, how many active players are on that, you know, game at all times, right? And our biggest tournament right now has like sub 5,000 entrants, very close to 5,000, and like it's still very, very impressive for an in-tournament experience or in-person tournament experience. But it's just like, it is so difficult to be good at this game. And it's all, dude, it's so funny because I don't even know if Sakurai knew what he was saying when he was like, try to master all these matchups, try to like get good at this game, like kind of daring us. And it's like, bro, it is so fucking hard. It is so hard and always has been, but it's just getting harder and harder. We had no idea who Mia and Akola were a couple of years ago. Zero idea. Same thing happened to Leo. Same thing happened to you. Same thing happened to Tyler, Light, Paris, everyone who's come up and become ranked. You never know who's out there and who's really trying to make moves. And brackets, dude, one round can change the difference between a bracket going one way or a completely different way. Like, that's the way I look at Ultimate.
When I look at this bracket, that's how I feel. It's like, it can go in so many more directions than usual than what we were used to seeing this year, I think, just because of the scale of the event. It's ridiculous.
You know, the last time that Sonics didn't play second at an event was the last Supernova, actually.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy?
Damn.
But I'm pretty sure. Or first or second, because he got, I think, first at poor priority after that. But yeah, that was the last time he got, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, y'all can fact check me.
He got upset. Him and Spargo got upset.
Him and Spargo got upset at Supernova. Yeah. And it's just like Genesis. Like, you're going to see the bracket. Like, oh gosh, all these things can happen. And then the bracket starts. And it's just who's hot that day. And sometimes it's who's hot those 2 days, those 3 days. It's going to be very exciting. And that's why I'm like kind of nervous about some people, because I think there are a lot of players that excel when the spotlight's on them. A huge one is like Light, for example. Like, when the pressure's on and he needs to show up, bro just shows up. But
like charismatic gameplay, if you will, right? Like the more spotlight or attention, or like if it's on a top eight stage, like these players just perform
clutch.
Yeah, or like to get into top eight or something like that. Mars is another example, right? I checked it. What? I saw him a little 33rd. I was like 33rd seed. I saw who he had to play. I said, I think he could beat this person. And if he has to play Mia after he beats, I can, 32nd is Siski. If I recall correctly, I'm like, Mars can definitely beat Siski.
Yo, he might lock in, bro.
And if he has to play Mia, sometimes he has this weird thing where he just wants to prove to people, like, y'all need to remember who I am. Like, because last Supernova, he beat Onin, right? Didn't he beat Onin?
He beat Onin and Paris.
Yeah. Like, they just show up when they need to show up. And, like, these people who, you really got to look deeper into the seeds. A lot of people for, like, majors and stuff like this, they'll normally look at like the top like 16-ish seeds. But once you start hitting this level, you got to look a little deeper into the top 64, maybe even like 92 or something like that, to really like get a full picture of how this bracket may turn out. And I was looking, I was like, oh, there might be. If we get a Mars Mia set, I'm
locked in.
I'm locked in.
I feel like they play similar styles, bro. I feel like they have similar vibes when they play. Like 100 very, very different characters, but very similar. Like,
they're both very rude.
In-game personality. Yeah, rude is they're assholes in the best way possible. Like, in the way that I like the most. Hey, Paris got some of that in him too. You know what I mean?
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does.
It's a little rare, but
his comes out when he gets cooked. Then he's like, hold on, you ain't gonna cook me. I'm a cook.
I like it, dude. It's my favorite type of player.
Then you can beat me or something like that.
I mean, I would love to see that, because I think something that a lot of people don't talk about, I don't think it's necessarily forgotten or anything, but remember that Mars is one of the few people that have gotten a tournament win over Leo during Leo's era, which was like a really long time. And Leo was also very dominant, like not just kind of dominant. He was very dominant over a long period of time. And any player that got a tournament win over Leo during that time, I think, to me at least, throughout all of Smash Ultimate's history, that's the biggest accomplishment you can get. That's just how I view it. So, I know Akola's getting to that point where it's like maybe the length. He's getting to the point where he has the potential to match Leo. But even right now, when we look at it, he doesn't have the same consistency as Leo did. Like he's losing tournaments to me and stuff like that. Someone beating Leo was so crazy and out of the norm. And it even got to the point where everyone would cheer for it. So like Leo didn't really always have the crowd on his side and stuff just because he won so much. It's not like they didn't like him as a player. It's just like, dang, I'm just trying to see something different. You know what
I mean? That novelty factor we're talking about.
Right, the novelty factor.
Same thing where it's like, I just want to see something a little different. And to like kind of bring this back together to what Gavin was saying about, there's something about Leo and why everyone calls him the GOAT and like all that stuff. Obviously it was so true, especially in the beginning of the game. It still is because, dude, he's just a great presence to have around. He's like an amazing top rep that when he was number one, he was like a great number one. He was humble. He was nice. He showed up to tournaments and he played. He practiced. Like he was just really, really great to be around. The other thing is he still carries so much of that respect. Today I saw, I'm pretty sure it was TM7 Zap, talk about a new guard player, right? New guard player causing upsets, playing, you know, in all these online brackets and doing really well and might do really, really well at Supernova. But he tweeted that he's going to be in Leo's path specifically. And I was like, what a way to tie together like the really, really beginning of Ultimate and how important, you know, everything was then, especially Leo, into now, where even though Leo, you know, obviously isn't as invested, isn't like a super competitor mode right now, but he still means so much to people, you know? And that's like,
and to he's me, fresh what's, off the W.
He's yes, he is. Yes, W. And he's playing really well right now, obviously. But that's like what I love about this shit is it's all about like this, people's stories and like how they've been around and like how you, I don't know. That's the shit that's cool to me. So I saw that tweet and it kind of seems like a nothing burger tweet because it's kind of just like, oh, I'm TM7 Zap. I want to beat Leo. It's like, yeah, everyone does. It's like, yeah, but the deeper meaning is like, bro, he's not even number one in the world right now. Like that's a completely different group of players now, but it still means so much to people because that's like, it's history, dude. I love that shit. I thought it was so cool.
It doesn't matter when or where. It's to them, it's still beating the best player to ever touch a controller. So
exactly,
grew up watching Leo because Zap's pretty young. Probably grew up like, bro, that's my GOAT. Like, and then you finally get to like sit down next to them and play them, and it's like, bro, this is crazy. Like, I just personally know, and I'm sure Gavin knows as well. Like, people say that to you, like, bro, Well, Gavin might get it now. I don't know if he is probably newer, but like, yeah, I grew up watching you. Like, you're my favorite player, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's crazy when someone sits down next to you and you see, like, bro, they're like 18. Like, I remember when I was this age, like, just hopping in and I sat down next to my favorite players that I grew up watching. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's full circle. So it's really cool when stuff like that, happens, you know, good old circle of life.
Yeah, I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, even for me, I know, like, kind of going back to when I started coaching Gavin, that was during the time of Leo just being very dominant. And the last tournament I coached Gavin for in TSM was Summit, which was the like within that 2 years of me coaching Gavin, that was his first win on Leo during Ultimate, right? And that was like essentially right after quarantine. So I still consider it during the part of Leo's prime. There was like a extended period of time where it was like prep time and stuff like that, but I mean, to me, that was like one of the more emotional tournaments for me because it was just like this goal of, oh hey, I'm coaching this player. And by no means I don't like take credit for the win, obviously, like Gavin was up there playing and he played amazing and the prep and all that was amazing, but it still felt really good where it's like, oh wow, I have a friend, I tried to help him achieve this goal and he finally got through that goal, right? And I don't know. I think some of the most historic moments in Ultimate history is it involves Leo losing, which is it's that alone says so much about Leo as a competitor and just for how long he did it and for how solidified he was and how consistent he was. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. That one was very important to me because of all the time that went into it and mm-hmm. the decisions that went into it as well. Like, you know, it was just a whole different life for a while during quarantine, different character, so much preparation. And like, I am no stranger to like getting close to achieving something and failing, like a lot of second places over here. So yeah, after I won that one, it felt very meaningful because it felt like the scales were so big that it felt like, you know, that I could play catch up with some with Leo despite losing some of the big ones to him. It was like something I can add to my belt that feels like has a similar level of impact in terms of what the tournament means to win it. Like the prize pool being super big, or like the scales being different than just a Smash tournament. So that was why it was so important to me. And like, I've won like quite a few tournaments over the last couple of years. Like I've won some pretty big ones, but like nothing really hit like that. Like when I was flying, plus B usually travels with me and she didn't. And on the way home, like I was waiting for my flight, bro. I was just sobbing in front of everyone. Like,
I just kept messaging me like, bro, I'm just crying. I was like, what?
Like on the way home from, like, I didn't even get on the plane yet from Summit 3. Like I was just sobbing, like just ugly crying. Like I just could not. But dude, like
the relief you were talking about, right? Yeah. When we were talking about Evo, right? It's that like, I would assume it's the same, similar feeling.
The relief is the best feeling for sure. Cause it's just, I don't know. It's like working out for an hour and you finally get to sit down, like, or like take a drink of water. Like, it's like, it feels like you did something that was worth it, but like, you didn't know if it was going to be worth it, but you dedicated like your whole life to it. You know what I mean? Like, so those moments are huge. And like tournaments like Summit, Smash Con, Evo, Genesis, like those are the ones where like you're going to have to put in that level of emotion into it, I think, to be able to win. And that's why I think people are so proud of it when they do.
I think that's the craziest thing about competition is when I think about, I mean, I guess this is like very gaming brain, but when I think about competition, I think PvP. And then when I think about like you going to college, or you're still competing against others, but to me that feels like more PvE, where it's like, oh, okay, well, everyone can score 100% on this test, right? Everyone can go through this dungeon and get rewards, right? But when it's competition, there's only one winner. And I feel like that relief is just so crazy in perspective of you're putting all this time and effort, but you don't know the end result. Like the end result's not guaranteed, because if you are going to school and you're trying to get a degree, not every classes are the same and all that other stuff. Not every degree is the same, but for the most part, if you do all of your homework, you study, you get X amount, or, you know, so high on these tests, you will get your degree. Right. So
yeah.
That perspective of a competitor, I think, is so important to add in the context. And I assume most people that watch this have competed in something. So
watching the Olympics leading up,
I was just about to bring it up.
This event has been pretty poetic, considering like I'm just watching and like, the scales are just massive. Like nothing in Smash will ever compare to the scale of the Olympics, but you know what it means for you to be doing something you do every day of your life, but the biggest scale. Like it's just a whole different ballpark. Like, and I don't know, you see a lot of people talking, like criticizing the people in the Olympics. And it's just always funny, because I think this is going to be really mean, what I'm about to say, but like you just truly, like, you'll, unless you're there, like in the seat doing it, you'll never, you can be the smartest person on the fucking planet, you just don't get it.
Oh, that's not me. There's literally a meme about that going on.
Competed in something in your life, even if you've competed in something professionally, I'll go as far as to say that. Even if you've competed in something at a high level, you still don't get it.
Nope.
You don't. Unless you've done it at the highest level, don't talk.
Like, I don't think that's mean at all. I think that's a widely accepted perception.
Even if you're good at the thing you're watching, you're not in the same universe as them.
No,
not even close. Not even.
Yeah, dude, that's the meme of like watching someone get the,
you could be the smartest person ever.
Someone getting the bronze medal, you know, they slip and fall once, and some idiot eating Fritos on their couch is like, wow, you fucking suck. It's like, yeah, okay.
And the crazy thing, like, did you see, like, okay, so the 100 meter final, like, I'm sure the men's 100 meter final, I'm sure a bunch of people have seen the photo finish. Just like,
yeah,
a lot of people are like, I'll see criticism and like fighting games like Street Fighter or Tekken or like Smash, and it's like, bro, like, these people are right there. Like, they're one game away, they're one mistake away. You look at that 100 meter final, that, bro, look, like, that gap, they're all right there next to each other in skill, right? Like,
that's crazy.
What makes what makes that difference, right?
So like, yeah, and like, how can you say that like this one person is that much worse than the other person when the difference between first and second in this race was 0.005 seconds? But you don't remember you just remember that they got second, and that determines their greatness. Like, I don't know. It's tough when I see people like get blasted over and over. Like, people blast Sonic's as, bro, Sonic's can't win anything. It's like, he can. He's done it before.
Crazy.
But he just keeps getting, like, he's the most consistent player. He might just be the most consistent player. Like, it's either him or Akola, right? Like, they're very, very consistent. And they're consistently in winning positions. How can you be mad at that? Bro can't win. Like, what? What happens when he wins? He only won once. Like,
I'm truly so peeved at... It feels like the Smash culture has really taken a bit away from winning the big one, because there's so much like specific data and stuff that like it feels like there's something being taken away from winning a big one, and it's weird to me lately.
What do you mean?
Like, it just feels like there's less value put on winning that super major right now specifically compared to other times. Like, it just feels like there's a little less like
it's not being weighed as much. Yeah, and I mean, that's so many different rankings do things differently, where it's like, oh, okay, well, we value the core argument is usually peaks versus consistency, right? Yeah. That's usually the core argument, and it branches off from there. But yeah, I mean, it's hard because you can't keep the algorithm the same every time, because then players could
one gold Olympic medal, or do you value two silver medals?
No, not Jordan versus LeBron. Here we go.
I would want a gold medal. Low if key. I had to pick.
Of course.
I
would like
the gold of course, medal. Yeah. Winning it once.
But it's actually not that hard at all.
Okay.
One sentence, Gavin just like was like,
okay, but hold on.
It's hard. That's because you're looking at it through like a robotic lens. You know what I mean? You're not looking at it through like a human champion perspective.
But like, would you prefer six gold Olympic medals or 4 gold Olympic medals and like 12 silvers?
Probably the 6, bro, because you never lost.
You did lose. What?
Well, they said just 6 golds.
They had the like, same amount.
That means you, like...
You still entered the same amount of tournaments, so you busted out all the other ones.
Yeah.
Busted out.
It gets harder when the scale gets that big, because that's like a lifetime of medals.
I'm sorry, it's just funny.
I'll take the 4 gold.
It's a Jordan LeBron thing. You're
taking the 4 gold?
Yeah, over the 4 gold and how many silvers?
Like 12. I don't remember.
I'll take, hell yeah. Minus 2 gold for 12 silver. Just do the math, man.
Silver still shines, baby.
Silver still shines.
That's true, but
Gavin said, I'd rather get I'm first or last.
Yeah, first or worst.
I mean, I've just always been like that.
And that's how some people are. That's what I think is great about, like, I don't know, just people in general, is that like there's always going to be a difference in like opinions and beliefs and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, sure.
Yeah.
That's what you like.
Well, and the other thing too about Smash is it's a 1v1 competition, which is a little more interesting because then the math behind it's different, because then it's more like tennis or boxing where it kind of takes individual results very much into consideration. Cause like in baseball, basketball, your win loss to get in the playoffs, it doesn't matter if you beat the worst team in the league 80 times, that's your win loss. Like, that's not how it works. Obviously that's not how schedules work, but it does. A win's a win and a loss is a loss at the end of the day. They try to get a little smarter about it, which is good, but I understand what you're saying too, Gavin, like winning being the, but then it's like, but then it ties back into like, you're the best player on the day. Like, how much does that, that is the most important thing on that day, but is that the most important thing over a 6-month period? It's interesting. That's all I got to say. I obviously agree with you in a lot of ways, but I think it's, I can't really, aside from tennis, I can't think of like a bracket format 1v1 type thing with like the weighted results and like all that stuff. Like,
golf is so complicated, bro.
I can't.
The rankings for that? Like, hell no. But it's interesting. I'm excited to see what happens this weekend. I'm excited to see the rest of the top 50. But we're going to get into some Patreon bonus content. We're going to predict this really unpredictable tournament. So if you want to support, appreciate it. A lot of you already support the Patreon already. Thanks for watching and listening to the show in general. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.